This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Kerry Kasem. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Kerry Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KABC.com. I am Alan Gervie. I'm the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here to manage your life. And I'm barely here. I can't believe it. What a day I'm having. I don't know what kind of day you're having, but I'm having a horrible, horrible day. We had... Carrie's not here. She didn't show up. I don't know where she is. And then our guest, we had this big show planned with Lisa Bloom, of course, Gloria Allred's daughter, who represents everyone who needs representation, victims' rights, women's rights. And we were going to talk to Lisa and a couple of attorneys from her firm about Black China, about Tony Cardenas, who she is involved in that lawsuit, and Steve Wynn, lawsuit there, and Janice Dickinson, and all these people. And Lisa got sick on me. I can't believe it. Not right on me. She didn't throw up on me, but she got sick. And then Kerry doesn't show up. So what do you do when you're given lemons? You make lemonade. That's what you do. It's really hard to do it. I'm hearing this huge echo. Our studio has been taken over by some repair people. So we're in a closet right now. Can you hear that echo in this closet? Great. Wow, KBC, this is wonderful. They put us in a closet. But like I said, we are making lemonades. We're taking negatives and turning them into positives today right here on Gervie's Law. Forget about a legal show. We're getting two of the finest people I know, two old friends of mine who are here, who have had illustrious careers in very different areas and none of them in the law. We are here today and thank you for rescuing me in this closet. Ed Alonzo, one of the best magicians in the world, who has a long, long career performing all over the world. And of course, he was on Saved by the Bell way back when, played Max. And he was with Britney Spears and Michael Jackson when he was supposed to do the This Is It event tour with Michael Jackson before, unfortunately, Michael's untimely passing. Britney Spears wished him a happy birthday on stage. That I've never had happen to me. And he's here with us and we're going to dish with Ed Alonzo. And Magician of the Year, he's won the Magician of the Year just about every year I can think of. Forget about, what's that guy's name, Copperfield and those kind of people. Forget about him. We got Ed staring at me. And sitting in the back is Steve Garfinkel. Steve Garfinkel hasn't had an opportunity to be on Gervie's Law before, and he's excited to be here. He's here as a support. He is the president of American Zabin International, a company that I'm sure a lot of you are aware of because you probably sit on your jeans and he makes the labels that you sit on and hang tags for when you go shopping. So all of these amazing apparel products, American Zabin is behind, and Steve is the mastermind. And he is here, just like on the Bill Maher show. We are going to have a roundtable discussion. He has lots to say about Saved by the Bell and the magic industry, not. And of course, Ed has a lot to say about the apparel industry, not. So this is going to be fun. We wish Lisa Bloom all the best that she gets better. We will have her back on the show when she is up to it. And Kerry Kasem, of course, will be with me again, not in the next couple weeks. She's on assignment now, but she will be back. We are looking forward to having Kerry back. So after all of that, Ed Alonzo, Steve Garfinkel, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Great. Thank you. This is fun. I will be here because your mother wasn't available.
That's
who
right.
Really is one of the best guests that you have. She's so charming and hysterical, but I'm glad that she's back in Winnipeg.
She's in Toronto right now.
Oh, she's in Toronto.
Right.
And So I'm here. So I hope that I can fill her slippers.
I hope you can. I think that you may have a little more insight into some of the questions that I have. Yep. And Steve, welcome to the show. You've never been here. What does it feel like to do a show in a closet? Our main studio is being repaired.
It might be a closet, but I'm quite impressed. This is my first time ever witnessing showbiz behind the scenes.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm kind of excited.
Well, this really is showbiz. This is big time. You really made it.
Well, if you tell me it is, it is.
Now, you're sitting next to Ed Alonso. Now, you remember Saved by the Bell back in 1990. You watched it all the time, right?
Unfortunately, I've never watched an episode. I have to figure out what I was doing in 1990 that kept me away from that show.
Ed, what were you doing?
I was doing the show, and I thought we had a couple of people watching, but apparently not.
There are a lot of people.
You were busy making a career for yourself, making labels. You were labeling yourself.
I was working on I was working hard on my career.
Awesome. And that's what you should do. Had I been working on that, I would be a success and would be too busy to do the radio show today. So,
like
no, but
everyone
I am working
else.
On some fun things. I'm just going to jump in here. What am I working on? So, I don't know if you ever watched Cupcake Wars when it was on the Food Network. It's still on, but there's another host. The original host was a guy named Justin Willman, who is a magician, and he wasn't doing magic on the Cupcake Wars, but what a great show. Anyway, he has parlayed that into a Netflix series where he's doing his craft as a magician, and it's called Magic for Humans. It's on Netflix now. You can watch it anytime, but we are shooting season 2 right now, and
wow.
It's so exciting. Lots of brand new magic and surprises, and it's just a blast. And I don't have to shave and look good.
Why not?
I'm behind the scenes, so I get to help create the magic and, you know, the moods and the textures, and it's fun.
What kind of magic are they featuring?
Well, a lot. In the original series, the season 1, there's some really good stuff. I'm going to just tip it a little bit. One of the things is called goat yoga. So Justin called me one day, and he said, there's a thing called goat yoga. I want you to look it up online. And I didn't know what he was talking about. Apparently, you can take a yoga class. You go out to a farm, you put your workout mat down, and you get into your yoga positions, and then they let the goats out, and the goats climb up on your back, and they balance themselves while you're balancing, and it's just an amazing thing. And Justin said, wouldn't it be cool if I attended a goat yoga class? It just sounds crazy.
Is this an LA thing?
I think it's all over now. It's really blown up.
Where does something like that start?
In Ventura County, normally. So I went out to the goat yoga class and saw what was going on. And Justin said, for the series, I want to do something crazy. I want to get into the goat yoga position, which is where you're sort of downward dog.
I don't think they call it dog, though.
Oh, they don't?
No, downward goat.
Oh, it's... Yes, forgive me. Downward goat. And then the goat climbs on your back, and he wanted to then lift his legs up off the ground and then lift one arm so that he's basically kind of suspended on one arm with this goat on his back. And man, oh man, you guys have to watch the show.
Wow.
It's so great. And there's stuff like that on it. It's just wacky fun and no camera tricks. It's all real things that me and a couple of guys think up. And it's just awesome.
Now, you mentioned that this was a magic show.
It is, yeah.
And just like this is a law show. In fact, before we went on the air, Steve said, I thought this was a law show. And why do you have Ed Alonso and Steve Garfinkel there?
Because I have a lot of law problems. I have a lot of issues.
I'm married to a lawyer. That's as close as I get to my law
problems. That's even better. Yeah,
so,
that's the way to do it. Bring
so that's
it home.
The Netflix show. Now, I'm really interested in this Hollywood Bowl. I don't know if you're having any legal issues with the gig you're doing at the Hollywood Bowl coming up in a month.
Not yet.
But if you do, we would like to talk about it. But why don't you tell us? Maybe Steve and I can come up with some legal issues that may pervade
project. Well, here's the story of that. The Hollywood Bowl, as you know, it's great. It's so fun.
Yeah.
There have been times when I've been at the Hollywood Bowl with my wife, and I'll take a picture and we'll put it on social media. And a minute later, you'll text me and say, dude, I'm like right over here. I'm right across the way.
That actually
happened. Can't we get together
that
and do this?
Last last year? What show were we at when we did that?
We were at Cool and the Gang.
Was it Cool and the Gang?
It was
yes,
the Cool
we
and
were
the
there.
Gang, and there was some other 80s groups. Oh, I love the Hollywood Bowl.
We were celebrating good times.
We were. And I was watching the Hollywood Bowl show, and I just love it. And I've always dreamed of performing at the Hollywood Bowl, but you have to be a musician. And the trumpet playing that I did in high school doesn't count. But here's where it all ties in. I went to high school sophomore, junior, senior in Bakersfield, California.
My apologies.
I know. But I'm going to tell you the upside of this.
There it is.
That's where I, and then after I graduated from high school, I got into radio, and that's why I sound so
man,
awesome.
And that's why you're here right now.
That's one of the reasons.
Steve, when did you get into radio, by the way?
About 20 minutes ago.
Yes, it's a longer career than I had in Bakersfield. So one of the students at West High School in Bakersfield is a guy named Richard Kraft and his brother David Kraft, and I sort of knew them. One of the years, and I believe it was my senior year, I entered the talent show, and I was doing my magic act, and I was actually okay at the time. I was, you know, doing some illusion things, floating girls and sawing them in half. So it was beyond what a high school student should be doing. One of the other students enters with a Mr. Bill film that he's made.
Oh,
this is the guy Richard Kraft. Well, he loses. And he carries the grudge on him through life. And I have no idea this. We shoot forward many, many years. And I'm working on the film Men in Black, working the alien puppets and so forth. And at the screening, guy comes up and taps me on the shoulder and says, Ed, I turn around. He says, I'm Richard. I went to high school with you. You're the guy who beat me in the talent show, and I'll never forget it.
Wow.
Well, we exchange numbers and so on and so forth. Richard Kraft has a company with his partner. It's Kraft Engel Management. Here's what he went on to do after high school.
Macaroni and cheese people?
Almost as big. He's one colonel away from that Kraft family. He represents all of the, well, I'm not going to say all, but probably some of the most successful artists in music who create music for Broadway shows, television, and feature films. Danny Elfman is one of his clients. In fact, it was one of his early clients. He has Alan Menken and on and on and on, wow, those type of things. So this is what he does.
Does he have Neil Patrick Harris?
No. Neil is a great singer, but not a composer of songs. He'll get there eventually. He's doing books right now.
And by the way, he's your best friend.
He's my best friend. He's got a book out called, we're going to just go right into this. He wrote a book called The Magic Misfits about a bunch of kids who kind of, you know, hang out in a neighborhood and they're all magicians. And he called me one day and he said, you're the misfit of magic. That's been your title. Could I borrow that for my book? And I said, sure.
We're going to talk about that after the break, but let's finish up the Hollywood Bowl. Do we have time, Wayman, to get through this story? Because it's really getting long.
It is getting long. So anyway, Richard Kraft, I think we lost about half the listeners. They're
still here.
They're tuning into Heidi Frosty and Frank on the internet. They want reruns. And Bob and Dave that are coming back, or someone's coming back. Who's coming? Someone's coming back to Laurel and Hardy. They'll be there. So anyway, Richard Kraft, so long story short, now we become friends again, and he's got projects. And he produces these shows at the Hollywood Bowl. One of them is going to be The Little Mermaid Live. And what they do is they have many of the actors who did the voices in the film. They come to the edge of the stage and they voice the characters and sing the songs. And it's going to be great. And he said, could you make a sort of a cool thing happen at the beginning of the show? A nice visual thing that I don't want to spoil. So get your tickets for the Hollywood Bowl, Little Mermaid.
And when is that going to be?
I believe that it is. It's about a month from now. It's going to play two dates. I'm really not prepared, but I'm going to look it up.
It's something my kids certainly would love to see. So if you want to see The Little Mermaid live at the Hollywood Bowl, call Ed Alonzo or go to his website, edalonzo.com, right? And,
yes.
And he'll,
there'll be information.
He'll
there,
get some tickets for you. So we got
to. Now I'm in trouble. Now I need legal advice.
We're going to get to the law after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
We've got 2020 vision on 2020 AM 790 KABC.
Need a new perspective on law and life? Call Alan Gervey and Carrie Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Are we just going to play this music for the rest of the hour? What is this? Anyone know?
Yeah, this is everybody's watching me.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, this is, I think that, I'm trying to remember the guy's name. It was like, not Falco, but he had like a one name.
Steve?
What was it?
I'm trying to figure.
Rockwell.
Rockwell.
Yeah, but I think that this kid was a relative of somebody
Michael
famous.
Jackson. Michael Jackson. Yeah. He had some connection, because Michael Jackson was in the background.
Oh, is that
he
who was?
He was doing a little vocals in the background.
Yeah, I didn't see that in the movie.
You know, speaking of Michael Jackson, yeah. By the way, folks, we're talking to Ed Alonso and Steve Garfinkel. I know you've been tuning in specifically to hear what they have to say about these issues. And, you know, last year we had a couple shows with Corey Feldman on, and recently he came out and said that maybe, you know, he'd been defending Michael Jackson forever. And then when this new documentary came out featuring Wade Robson, who we had his attorney on some time ago as well, Finaldi, people started to get a little skeptical about maybe, just maybe, some of these allegations against Michael Jackson are true. Now, you have a history, Ed, with Michael.
Yep.
First of all, did you see the documentary that came out?
I did, and I wanted to watch it for a couple of reasons. You know, my first experience with Michael was in 89 or 88, when his company called me to come out to Neverland, which was just starting. They were just kind of building Neverland and properties out there, the houses, and they built a theater, and they wanted to have a big magic show for Michael and some guests. So,
you know, when you say some guests, I remember it very well.
Oh, well,
because you called me up and you told me you were invited by Michael Jackson to come to Neverland.
Yep.
And he said specifically, Michael specifically said that I can't bring any guests, so you're not coming.
No,
I remember that.
And you know what? I wish that I had brought you at this time. But it was so strange. You know, it was me and a couple of girl assistant dancers and another friend to help load the thing in. And we set up and rehearsed all day in this little theater, and then it was showtime, whatever time it was, 6 p.m. whatever, and the curtain opens up, and the first illusion was a thing where the assistants stack all these kind of crates together, and then all the crates are now a tower, and they open up and I pop out. So I'm in there hidden someplace, and so I'm looking out the cracks, and I'm looking out, and I can only see Michael and a couple of kids in a full theater, and the theater's empty. But I'm hearing him, like, applaud and woo, yeah, woo, woo-hoo, this kind of thing, you know? So I thought, okay. I popped out of the box, and it was Michael with a kid on each side of him.
Yeah.
And behind him in the row were some parents. So this was my first experience to kind of see the Michael with kids, and it just seemed very innocent, and their parents were there,
right.
And it all, you know. And then now, you know, you watch the documentary, and you go, oh. So what was kind of freaky for me was being out there and seeing a lot of different rooms, the bedrooms that were in the back of the movie theater where they could watch movies, and his dance studio that we rehearsed in with the mirrors, and a lot of places that were on the property that I saw. And then when I saw them in this documentary, I was like, oh. So it's very sad, and it's one of those things where you go, you kind of hope this thing didn't happen, but there's always that skeptic. It's a sad situation. And I think worse than all of it is the fact that, you know, Michael's not here to kind of defend himself.
Right.
But I think all the warning signs were there for us.
Well, that was the most interesting part of the documentary. All the warning signs were there. We saw them on videotape, and we lived through it. And we
nobody spoke up.
Yeah. We probably saw most of it live. On the news, on the shows, and that was normal, I guess. We didn't want to believe it. He was too famous. He was too talented.
And I think that people still feel that way. There's so many people that don't want to believe it. And I know there's a lot of people that want to ban Michael Jackson music. And, you know, but I think that overall, you have to think of it this way. I think that you have to separate the artist from the real person, because I think that we are constantly reminded and disappointed with our heroes that
they have flaws.
They have flaws.
And they're, I think they're that, human.
But
they're
there
human.
Are a lot of people who really don't want to believe it, as you say. And in fact, when we had Vince Vivaldi on, Vivaldi, who is Wade Robson, still is Wade Robson's attorney, there was an article written on the internet about me. I don't know how I got into it, but if you look it up, it went critiquing every step of the way of my interview with this attorney.
Michael bashing? You were Michael bashing, were you?
Well, the attorney was. I was just being, you know, this interviewer, the whatever I do on the show. I still haven't figured out what I do on this show. But the guy was talking, and I guess I was going, And he, I assume it was a he, maybe it wasn't, wrote this critique, and it's like ripping me apart for this interview with this guy. And that's what, 30 years later?
Right.
Crazy. It's crazy how people still, you know, will maintain their defense. And that's why when Corey Feldman, when he was on the show, he did defend him. But like you, Ed, and you had experiences with Michael afterward when you were doing the This Is It show and you were working for him. But you can take a step back and say, hey, what was really going on? Maybe there was some problems that...
Well, Corey Feldman could be telling 100% the truth. Michael didn't have to molest him.
Right.
I mean, didn't have to molest everybody he came in contact with.
Right.
I believe the two gentlemen that were on the documentary, they were very believable to me. But that doesn't mean Corey Feldman didn't have a different experience.
And I think also when, you know, with the other two kids, they really weren't famous. And when you look at Corey Feldman or even,
Macaulay Culkin,
they're famous enough to where...
You might want to think twice about that.
Yeah, maybe that might have, you might be right.
And we have another situation right now going on right in front of us. The person is well alive. It's R. Kelly. Not very much different.
Right,
And that's coming home to roost, or it's going to be put on the table, and he'll have an opportunity to defend himself.
And we had the producers of the R. Kelly show that aired earlier this year on the show, and it was really incredible. The two producers who created that, did you guys see that documentary on R. Kelly?
I have it on TiVo. I haven't watched it.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet. R. Kelly never asked me to work for him, so,
so you don't want to talk about him.
No interest.
But, you know, the interview that Gail King. Gail King did. It's have you seen that?
I did see that. That's outrageous.
I mean, the highlights were out.
Yeah, it was the highlights. I mean, he stands up. He starts screaming into the camera. So, you know, you got to wonder. But I'll tell you, you, Ed, back in the day, experienced your own kind of drama with Saved by the Bell. And in 2009, I believe it was, when Dustin Diamond came out with this book, and Dustin Diamond, of course, was Screech in Saved by the Bell, and he said all these things. He has since said that there was a ghostwriter, because I believe Mark Paul Gosselaar, who played Zach, hasn't spoken to him since 1994. That's what it said. But he holds nothing against him. Now, you were very close with Dustin. You were probably the closest of all the same. You know, I don't think Elizabeth Berkley was really tight with Dustin.
And the reason was because, you know, I'm a magician. And so when I became a cast member, Dustin was 12 at the time and was a huge magic fan. Him and his dad went out to Disneyland all the time and, you know, stayed hours in the Disneyland magic shop and was a big magic fan. So constantly they would be coming to my dressing room and saying, hey, could you show us a trick? Could you teach Dustin some sleight of hand? Could you a card trick, whatever? Both of them, not just Dustin, but his dad, Mark Diamond. And because I had the smallest part on the show, I had a lot of free time on my hands. So it was every day I was performing for Dustin and his dad, which was great fun. It made the time pass. But yeah, it was a little sad later to see this book come out. And even though he claims that there is a ghostwriter involved, there's a lot of things that that he had in there that were based on fact, but then the outcome was twisted. So that's where I go, you know what, he was really more involved in it than just saying to some guy, hey, write a book and make up whatever you want. So there's some things in there where it starts to go down the right path of truth, and then it turns, for the element of excitement and shock for the reader. the readers. I think there were three books sold, and I bought one of them because I just wanted to see my name in print.
Did you get it autographed by Dustin?
I haven't seen Dustin since, and I think that he has... The whole problem with Justin is, Dustin is the fact that he was so young, and he was the nerdy kid on the show. And the show blew up and became famous, and he was probably one of the most recognizable ones. So everywhere he would go, he would get pointed at, oh, screech this, screech that, take a picture with my girlfriend. Hey, would it be okay if we shoved you in this locker? Yeah. I mean, so there was a lot of that type of abuse over the years, and I think it just wore on them. I say to the people, the writers of television and movies, stop with the funny names, the Screeches, the Doogies, the Urkels, because later these people have to go out in life and be called Doogie 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 or Ooh, Urkel Urkel, and it's just sad.
But seriously, do you think the writers care?
It's not about the names. It's about the fact that these young people are in an adult game at a very young age, and they have a certain amount of fame. They go into this different kind of reality that adults have a difficult time navigating through, and as children it quickly goes away. And then they come back to the regular reality.
Yeah, that's
just
true.
Far too many cases of bad outcomes. I think Britney Spears had a very difficult time, and there's a lot of people. It's a tough...
But you saw that on the set, but you were a little older, and you know all the stuff that we hear about, and I read something about Mark Paul and Elizabeth Berkley having a relationship. And
well, that kind of stuff definitely happened. But you're talking about, you know, two young guys. They were, you know, Mark Paul and Mario were both, 15 turning 16. And the same for Elizabeth and Elizabeth Berkley and Tiffany Amber Thiessen, both 15 and 16. You know, if they weren't doing television, they would be in high school dating anyway. So when that's your everyday, when you're going to school over at NBC on a set and you're hanging out with these friends all day long, the one thing's going to lead to the other. So one dated one for a while, and then when that grew stale, then one dated the other for a while. But it was all just very innocent.
And Lark Voorhies, who seemed at the time the quietest one, which she ended up marrying like three times, and now she lives with her mother?
Yeah, you know, I just saw Lark a few months ago because there's a little restaurant here in town called Saved by the Max that I pop into once in a while.
What a coincidence.
Stuff. I know, just happens to be in my neighborhood. So I go in there, and we did an autograph signing thing for fans, and Peter Engel was there, and myself, and Dennis Haskins, who was Mr. Belding, and of course Lark was there. It was the first time I'd seen her in years and years, and she just, she didn't seem to have the light in her eyes and the energy that she had. She's a different person now, and I don't know what exactly.
But I think it's very sad. It goes to Steve's point.
Absolutely.
That it is so difficult when a series, and I think that one came out of the blue, notwithstanding that Steve never saw it, so many people grew up on it. And then there were generations afterward who would see it in reruns. And by the way, there was a story that came out in January, I think Mark Paul was commenting on it, that the cast just got really ripped off from the province. We're finally getting to the legal
issues. The business and legal issues.
We sure did get ripped off. Yeah.
You know, they were talking about Friends, and I read something strange about Friends. The cast of Friends were making like millions of dollars from the reruns, and Saved by the Bell just got completely screwed. And at this point, there's barely anything left that is going out in residuals. Now, it may not apply to you as much as the others, but have you talked to any of your former cast members about it? Didn't you get together? I know Dennis Haskins, who was Mr. Belden, called me at one point. I think I was the only lawyer that he knew. And he said, can we do something against NBC Productions to try and get some of this money?
Well, you know, originally this was all in the contract where we didn't own anything and we didn't own our persona and everything. And even though when I walked in and auditioned for the first time, I came in with the glasses and my spiked up hair and an apron and the whole bit and was doing the character that I was already doing on stage. And, you know, I had done it for so long that it was to a point where it was just polished and worked well. And they thought, hey, this is the guy that should do this. So, yeah, you know, it was a Saturday morning show initially. So the money was very, very low.
Right. I remember I did the contracts, so I would know that.
The contracts. The money was very low. And so when the money's low initially, then the residuals are going to be low. And we had no claim to any kind of merchandising. None of us did. And it was also a situation where, because it was a Saturday morning show and it was kind of a fun little show, I don't think any of us expected for the thing to go more than 7 episodes, which is what we were contracted for originally.
Right, and I think you were surprised at the time. And after the break, I have to take a quick break, but I'll tell you a story. People don't believe it. I just got a call right now saying, how did you do the contracts? How was I involved with the contracts? I'll give that answer afterwards because I think I have Ed to thank for it many years ago. But yes, I was involved with all the kids' contracts for Saved by the Bell. You're listening to Gervie's Law. We're going to be right back with Steve Garfinkel and Ed Alonzo after this.
The beacon of common sense. AM 790 KABC.
The glass is always half full when you're listening to Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, we're talking half full, not half empty. I'm here with Ed Alonzo and Steve Garfinkel. I know that's who you tuned in to hear. Unfortunately, Lisa Bloom couldn't make it. Carrie Kasem couldn't make it. So it's the Men's Club. We're going to rename Gervie's Law the Men's Club. We're not talking too much about law. But before the break, Ed was telling us about Saved by the Bell and the cast and the residuals that have apparently not been very prolific and not been at all very substantial. And I had said, yeah, I saw those contracts. And the reason I saw the contract was interesting story. Ed and I had met on a cruise ship many years ago. He was performing. I was a DJ. He was a magician. And then he got the gig at NBC to do Saved by the Bell. And we were talking one day and he said, you should work here. I was in law school at the time. And I said, yeah, how am I going to work here? He says, watch, come with me. So he took me across the studio lot to the legal department, and we just kind of opened up the door and walked in, and right there was a receptionist, and then behind the receptionist was the head of the legal department. Guy's name was Don Zachary, and Ed walked in like he was a big shot because, you know, the show hadn't really gotten off the ground yet. They were filming and getting ready to launch it, and he said, oh, I'm one of the stars of the show Saved by the Bell, and they said, oh, Mr. Star of the Show, come right in. Took me into the head of the legal department, Don Zachary's office, and Ed did all the talking. Here I was, the lawyer, and he said, Alan's here to work. And the guy said, excuse me, who are you? And he said, I'm Ed Alonzo. And the guy said, okay. Then the guy says, Don Zachary says, you're here to work. What does that mean? I said, well, I'm in law school. I'd like to work. He said, well, we don't have any openings. We can't bring another person on. I said, well, you know, I'm not asking to get paid. I just want to work. I'm here to work. I don't want to get paid. And Don Zachary said, well, you know what? We have no room for you here. Look at all the desks. All the offices are full. And I said, well, I noticed when I walked in, there was a conference room at the back. Yep. No one's sitting in the conference room. I could just sit there. And the guy said, really? You're just going to sit in the conference room? I said, yeah, I'll do all the work you need without pay sitting in the conference room. And Don looked at Ed and said, sounds like a good deal. Thanks for bringing him by.
Yeah.
When do you want to start? I said, I'm ready to start right now. And, you know, it's kind of a lesson. I tell that story to a lot of the kids now who are trying to get jobs. People come to me. I interview them. And, you know, they ask for these exorbitant amounts of money when they have no experience. And I tell them the story. Ed Alonzo just took me into the NBC legal department head. And I just said, I'm here to work. That's it. I don't want to get paid. I don't need a desk. I don't need an office. Just give me the conference room back there. There was a computer back there. And there it went. And then eventually, after about 5 or 6 months, they hired me to work at NBC, and that's how I got my start.
That's a real friend, Alan. I feel like I have never done anything close to like that.
You haven't.
I haven't.
That's going to be tough.
I feel small.
Tough to top that.
You don't have to.
And the reason I felt so comfortable. Before I got the job at NBC, when I was a teenager, I used to sneak into NBC. And here's how I did it. Back in the late 70s, you could take a 3/4 inch videotape or whatever and kind of put it in an envelope and, you know, address it to whatever show was popular that week. So I would drive onto the lot. Oh, I'm taking a package in to submit for Real People or whatever the show was. The gate opens up. You drive in. You go now to another desk. And, oh, I'm bringing this over to the Real People thing. No problem. You go down the hall. You make a look. Well, I did a habit of this, doing this every week. And eventually, I would start to take my girlfriend from Bakersfield and her mother. We would drive down to go see The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson. And I knew the layout of the land there. So we would walk backstage and I would escort them. And we would walk right onto The Tonight Show set where the cameras are. And then, of course, an NBC page would come over and say, yes, can I help you? And I said, yeah, I'm a guest of the show. And these are the two people with me. Your seats must be over here. So they would take us over to some seats and we'd watch the show. Now, we couldn't leave where the regular audience would leave afterwards because we walked through the studio. So at the end of the show, we have to walk down to the stage where Johnny is, back through the dressing rooms. I'd wave to Johnny, great show today. and that's it. So years later, I would actually get some jobs at NBC. I would do the Variety Club telethon that we would shoot there. And then I did a couple of the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour. So I was very familiar with NBC. So by the time I was doing the Saved by the Bell, I already knew the guys over the legal department and the people in the commissary and everywhere. So I thought, hey, here's a guy, who I know is going to be a great attorney. If I walk him over there, it's just going to happen. That's what I thought.
Steve's shaking his head.
I'm shaking my head because
it was pretty amazing.
It's a great story.
Yeah.
And I've no doubt that it's 100%.
Yes.
I just don't think in today's world that any of that can happen.
No, never.
Right?
And I'll tell you when it changed for NBC specifically, because I remember we were there taping Saved by the Bell, and we were sharing the hallway to The Tonight Show. So let's say The Tonight Show was in stage one, we were in stage three. And the hallway we shared, and so we'd always see The Tonight Show guests. One day, a guy came in with a delivery very similar to what I had done years before, and he had some flowers to deliver to Johnny Carson. Well, in this giant bouquet of flowers was, and maybe I'm sort of elaborating a little bit, but supposedly there was a giant machete in there, like a long knife. And the guy made it all the way up to the point where he would then be on the Tonight Show soundstage. And one of the guards stopped him. What is this? And it seemed a little sketchy. The guy wasn't there like I was just to sort of try and break into show business. He was really trying to cause some harm.
Yeah.
And that's when they put a lockdown on the hallway. Yeah. There was a security guard out there from then on. And the nonsense was done.
Right.
And it was very difficult for young guys and gals like I was to and submit their tapes and get on shows.
Well, and for me as well, because I went through that. I was working there at the time, and I used to hang out with all the guests. I remember talking to Tom Cruise, to Jane Fonda, to Sylvester Stallone, just hanging out there. And then all of a sudden, everything changed, and I couldn't get back there.
That was the day.
I couldn't get into the hallway. And Steve, you make a good point. It happens all the time. You have to wait for these events. I mean, I hate to say it, but the 9/11 was in the news this past week because of the representative from Minnesota saying that something happened there. Right. And when we talk about after 9/11, all the changes that took place with flying. And the other point before you comment on this, Steve, is I know you're interested in this, the college admission scandal. Things are going to change with that because of what happened with your old friend, Lori Loughlin. We'll talk about her in a second. Go ahead.
No, but did you ever get paid from NBC? Because I'd venture to say they would never let you work for nothing.
Well, the end of the story, really, and now Alan won't tell you this, he was basically running the legal department there single-handedly for a few months by himself. Now, what happened was there was another high-powered attorney at NBC. He wanted to be an actor. So he was busy submitting his pictures and everything to all the producers, and he actually, I think he played three or four episodes on Saved by the Bell.
Mr. Tuttle. And by the way, Jack Angelis, unfortunately, passed away a few years ago. I happened to research him because he meant a lot to me, because he helped me along even though he disappeared and left me to do all his work.
Mm-hmm.
He did pass away at the age of 69.
That's a shame. Yeah, he was a great guy. But it's true, though. You were running the department because you really went in there and took over and established that you were an expert in all of the fields.
And none of it was true. I'd learned from Ed.
And now you're taught a huge success.
But my point is that unfortunately, this wouldn't happen today because the person wouldn't be allowed to let Alan sit in the conference room.
Think back a few years ago where those guests went into the White House. when they when they went in and they were all fake. Dressed up and they
it was
they
like wedding crashers.
Right.
Exactly.
But that's a security. Well, that's all security. There's a 9/11 thing, but there's also this employment situation where internships are sort of non-paid internships are going away, right? And those were great vehicles for people to get their foot in the door.
Yeah.
Now people, well, they say you're taking advantage of the work,
and then of course who you paid off to get that gig,
right?
You know, again, Lori
that
Loughlin.
Goes into the college scandal. Sure.
Yeah, the college scandal.
Right.
Did you work with her? We have to take a break, but did you work with Lori with the John Stamos show?
I did not. Oh, you know what I did? I was on Full House and she was there. But John was my friend because I had done a couple of episodes of General Hospital when he was Blackie, you know, back in the late 70s.
Oh, yeah, that's
70s.
Right.
So that's where I first
Luke
met John.
Laura.
With Luke and Laura. That was the big
I watched
General
that.
Hospital.
You watched it in college.
I saw that. You probably saw me.
But they canceled class for the wedding. I remember that. They canceled classes.
Wait a second. You watched General Hospital, but you didn't watch Saved by the Bell.
But you saw me on one of those episodes.
Look, I was in in college. The other one, I was working on my career.
You were at Ithaca College at the time.
Ithaca College, upstate New York.
Upstate New York, and you were watching Luke and Laura, and he was hanging out with John Stamos.
There it was.
Wow. That's a lot of names have been dropped. We got one more segment. We'll see if we can drop some more names right here on Gervie's Law. We're talking to Steve Garfinkel, Ed Alonzo. I'm Alan Gervie, and you're listening to KBC right here, 790.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Clear thinking. Free discussion. AM 790 KABC.
Waiting for your luck to change? It already has, because you're listening to Gervie's Law every Saturday on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
You know, all day today I was waiting for my luck to change. I had no idea I was going to wake up this morning and find out that Lisa Bloom couldn't make it because she was sick, and Carrie Kasem was out on assignment, couldn't be here with me. But I got to tell you, just when you think you're having bad luck, the good luck comes through. What a fun afternoon we've had with Ed Alonzo and Steve Garfinkel.
This was a good show. This was a good one. We started off talking about goat yoga.
Right.
We went into the problems of Michael Jackson, and wow.
And then I sent Alan a text this morning. I was giving him a compliment on the podcast I listened to on my way to work.
Next to you, you're on the podcast.
Right. That's right. That's
awesome. By the way, you can find those podcasts at gervieslaw.com, but you listen to it on Apple Podcasts, right?
Correct.
Subscribe.
Yesterday, I subscribed, and I listened to the college show.
Yeah, college scandal.
Dennis Prager is going to be my next one.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Dennis Prager was a couple weeks ago, and we had Ben Stein a few weeks ago. Gloria Allred. We don't care right wing, left wing, it doesn't matter. And then today, we're just talking about everything that isn't law. So I'm not sure how we can continue to call this Gervie's Law. But, you know, when we went off, we were just talking a few minutes ago, we were talking about John Stamos, and you said, what a great guy. There's so many nice people that you've worked with. I know you did a lot of work with Jay Leno as well, another fine person.
Yep.
Can you tell me about some of the real jerks that you've worked with? Can you let me know who, you know, it's funny.
Yeah, I mean, this is, my career's ending anyway, so I might as well cap it off with this. You know what? I worked with Bill Cosby.
Wow. Yes.
And I did.
Oh, wait a second. You're really going out on the line on that one.
Well, he's
going
to come after you now.
Yeah, that's true.
Wait, yeah, you're going to say Weinstein? Harvey Weinstein?
You know, I never had an opportunity to work.
Well, you don't have the body that he was looking for.
Apparently not. So I'm doing a guest spot on Showtime with the Apollo. This is about 1989. Bill Cosby is the host. And so they have me in the comedy spot where normally a comedian comes out and does stuff. I think Gilbert Gottfried was on the week before me. And so now
Gilbert
I'm
Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh, he's the greatest, the Gilbert Gottfried. So I'm in the Apollo and I'm rehearsing. And the bit is that I'm supposed to do a 3-minute comedy magic segment, and then I'm going to do a bit with Mr. Cosby. And of course he was huge at this time.
Yeah.
The Huxtables had just been off season for maybe a year, and it was still in syndication. He was the biggest television celebrity in the world, and I was so nervous to work with Mr. Cosby. So I was waiting around, and I went over to the director during the day, and I said, well, I have a chance to rehearse with Bill. And he goes, well, about that. He's not sure that he wants to do any interaction with you. And I said, well, I thought that that was part of the thing. He goes, well, here's what he wants. He's going to watch your act when you do your 3-minute set. He's going to see how that goes.
Johnny Carson.
Yeah, exactly.
It was kind of like Johnny Carson. And if he gives you that nod, walk over to him, and then you can go into the bit. All right, so I thought, oh, this is a lot of pressure now. So luckily, the first 3 minutes I did, it went over really, really well, and I had a you can't touch this joke, and the crowd exploded, and I was shocked. Then I look over, and there's Bill Cosby, and he gives me a little grin, and I'm not sure if he means let's do this or let's go to a commercial. So I, with the same aggressiveness that I walked you into the attorney's office, I walked right over to him and started to go right into the patter. And he was a little hesitant. And what the trick was that I was doing is I was showing some record album covers. The last record album cover was Fat Albert. And then he became the Jell-O guy. the cheeks came up, the dimples, and it was just great. But prior to that, he was kind of a jerk. Is that what the question was?
I think so, but I was hoping there would be someone who wasn't in jail you were going to talk about.
Oh, one well. Quick mention about Bill Cosby. If you look back, he was adored by everybody. One person gave him a hard time. No one understood it. Lisa Bonet. And she, if you really think back, she never responded to him. She did not have a good relationship with him. And you just wonder if she was hip to what was going on.
It's probably quite possible. So we got to wind it up. Let's talk a little bit about what you have coming out, Masters of Illusion.
Masters of Illusion on the CW Network. I believe it's going to start in June. It's always a summer thing. We taped them in January. And this season is going to be unbelievable. Big, big magic. Lots of guest stars who are magicians from all over the world. And so I'm so excited for that.
That sounds good. And the Saved by the Max, the pop-up restaurant.
Yes, it's still over in West Hollywood, maybe there for another month or two. And then it's going to move to a new location. And then I want everyone to tune in to see my friend Justin Willman, Magic for Humans on Netflix.
Yeah. And any Neil Patrick Harris projects. Because if you go to the internet, you can see Just for Laughs. You did a gig with Neil Patrick Harris. Yep. Everyone wants to go and look that up. Mm-hmm. Ed's performing with Neil, and Neil's the assistant for you.
Yep. The last time I talked to him was not long ago, and I sent him some very, very late Christmas gifts. And one of them was a magic candle that you snap your fingers and the flame lights up. He loves that stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting to hear if he has burnt the place down with it or if the kids have taken it and destroyed something.
Yeah, he's
anyway,
probably
he loves the magic.
Burning the midnight flame.
Ooh, yes.
So Steve Garfinkel, when I was on text messaging with you this morning, you know, you came on here and you said, oh, I'd just be kind of like Baba Booey from Howard Stern, kind of in the background.
Right.
But you're a star.
Well, what can I say?
You should take over hosting the show. I mean, you're not a Baba Booey. You are really the guest of all guests.
Anytime a guest cancels, a couple of hours notice, I'll be here.
Okay. Well, next time, if we're going to talk to Erin Shermerinsky or one of the legal professors, we'll get you here. Ed Alonzo, thank you so much for coming in and filling in. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Your stories are amazing. People love listening to them. You can go to the website, edalonzo.com.
Yes, or look me up on Instagram or Facebook or any of those things. And yeah, let's keep the magic moving.
Yeah.
And goat yoga.
Goat yoga. Okay, well, next week we'll probably be back to normal. This has been kind of a special week for me, a trip down memory lane with two of my best friends of all time, Steve Garfinkel and Ed Alonzo. Thanks for being here. And thanks to you for listening. Tune in next week, same time, same channel.
This show
show furnished by Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn.